very slow.
Yeah. And
we're holding on page 140 in Kiddushin. We learned last time the Mishnah had said that a person does one mitzvah, then Hashem does good for him. And we discussed what that means exactly. It means that he has one more mitzvah than his Averis. And we said there are certain mitzvahs that one, there are certain mitzvahs, the ones, Eved Varem Shalom Echel Perisayim, where he gets more good for that in this world. And we said there's cases where a person has more mitzvahs and Hashem Dapka treats him badly in this world to clean up his Averis and so on and so forth. And we went back and forth on that. So now, the Gemara continues. So Rav Tuvi bar Kisna pointed out to Rava a contradiction. In our Mishnah, we're saying, a person does one mitzvah. So he does something actively, mitivin loy, then Hashem does good for him, according to those various definitions of mitivin loy. Implying, osa aim loy, osa loy. Implying, only if he actually does an avera, a person doesn't get a schar, according to that, for refraining from doing an avera. He has to actually do things, he has to do vasei toiv. Rimini, the contradiction is, Rav Tuvi points out, a braisa says, Yoshev alei over avera, if a person sits and doesn't do an avera, noisim lo schar ka'isa mitzvah, and he's given a reward as if he had done a mitzvah. So Marashah talks about, okay, you know, we could say that there's a, you know, obviously we don't mean a person's going to sleep, for example, and he's going to get a schar for that, but let's say, for example, it's fine. We understand that if a person has a mitzvah that he has to accomplish and he doesn't do it, then that's a problem. But here we're talking about, let's say he doesn't happen to have a mitzvah that's available to him right now. So this braisa seems to be implying that just the fact that during that time, he could have been doing an aveda, and he doesn't, he gets a schar for that. So then in that case, it's not just also, it's not just also mitzvah achas. It would actually be when he just refrains from doing an aveda. So Rava answers him. That braisa doesn't just mean when he could have had the opportunity to do an avera and he didn't. It's when he was actually faced with a temptation to do an avera. He had a situation where he could have, where he was capable of doing an avera, and he controlled and he beat down his Yetzirah and was saved from it and wasn't over from it. So that, then therefore for that, that's certainly considered a mitzvah, and for that he does get a schar. So we're not just talking about that he passively didn't do something. We're talking about that he actively controlled his Yetzirah and didn't do the Aveda that he was otherwise in a position to do. In fact, one point in that case, among other things, then he gets a schar for the Kiddush Hashem that he did. You know, we usually think of Kiddush Hashem as being something in public, but strictly speaking, the Rambam describes a Kiddush Hashem is a person exactly that. A person has the opportunity to do an Aveira and he controls his Yetzirah and doesn't do it. That is an example of a Kiddush Hashem. So now we're saying when he does that, then yes, he does certainly deserve a schar for that. In fact, the Ben Yehoyada makes an interesting point in it. He says usually a person does a mitzvah, he doesn't necessarily get a reward in this world. We talked about yesterday the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov that he never does, but even according to the Chachamim, not necessarily, because after all, what makes it possible for you to do a mitzvah, as I say, you're only using resources that Hashem himself gave you. So in that sense, do you necessarily get a schar for it in this world? On the other hand, we say, HaKol Bidei Shemayim, Chutzim Yiras Shemayim. Yiras Shemayim is not in Hashem's hands. So that's something that's your unique contribution. You're adding your Yiras Shemayim and controlling your Yetzirah. And for that, yes, a person deserves a reward in this world. So the Gemara says, Ki Hodir Chanina Bar Papi. As we have the example of Rav Chanina Bar Papi, Tavaiti Ahimatu Nisa, a certain noble woman propositioned him to commit znus with her. So he wasn't going to go along with that, but how is he going to get away from her? She was a powerful woman, and she has the capability of harming him if he doesn't listen to her. Oma Milsa, so he said a word, he used a name of Hashem, or names of Malachim, or whatever, Umali Nafshi Shichna Bakibi, and he covered himself with boils and sores, and now he'll look very unattractive to her, and she won't want to have anything to do with him. Omro of the Himilsa, but she knew how to counteract that. She was able to use a spell of her own, the Itzi, so he was cured. So now he's back to square one. So what does he do? Shovka, so he left her behind. Orak, he ran away, Toshabahu Bay Bunny, and he hid in a bathhouse. Now, what's special about that bathhouse to keep where he'd be safe from her? To keep have island baby train after the mama, this place where there were shadim that hung out, and in various places the Gemara talks about there are shadim like in general shadim like to hang out in desolate areas, and we find in some places we find shadim will like to hang out particularly in bathhouses. So this one, the shadim there was so vicious, was so aggressive that Dechiavu island baby train, if two people would go together, and usually shadim are afraid to attack two people at a time, afilu b'yamama, and even by daytime, which is not usually the time when shadim are on the prowl, havu mitazkin, they would get harmed. The shadim over there was so aggressive, but he went and hid out in this place, abi, to be saved from the clutches of this woman. So the next day, the Chachamim asked him, we know you hid out in that bathhouse. How did you get away safely? Man Natra, who guarded you over there? Omalahu, he answers them, Shnei Noise Keso Shamruni Kolalaila. Two people who carry the emperor, like two of the emperor's bodyguards, guarded me all night. He means two malachim. We have, as I've mentioned elsewhere in the Gemara, it's even brought in Shulchan Aruch, that a person is, or at least was in those times, accompanied by two malachim. So those two malachim, and he nicknames them like guards of the Keser, protected me all night. So they protected me from the mazikim. So they said, we realize what happened over here, that you should have malachim are protecting you openly like that. Shemad varavero erva bol yodcha v'nitzal tehemena. It may be that there was a matter of avera or erva, often avera in Gemara terminology without specification means znus. So dvar avera would be a matter of avera, but it would be specifically a matter of znus. Dvar erva, as in the printed Gemara, makes it clearer that it means a matter of arayas. So it comes to the same thing, in other words, yeah. Boliyotcha came to you, you had a capability of it, but it's salta hemena, and you were saved from it. So therefore, that would be the reason why now we realize now why you got this extra protection from Hashem, that you had openly the malachim helping you out. Detanya, detanena, as in fact we learn in a brisa, call a bod varavero erva liyodim and nitzalai mena, oisim loy nest, and Hashem will do a nest for him for having held back his Yetzirah and controlled himself. It's almost like a midah keneged midah thing. He went l'mayla mederech hateva. A person has naturally a powerful Yetzirah for this kind of thing, and he holds it back. So therefore, he deserves to have a nest l'mayla mederech hateva and have malachim openly protecting him. In fact, it became this that Rav Chanina bar Papi, it became well known among the Chachamim that this had happened, that he successfully withstood this kind of nisayim. Later on in the Sechta, near the end of the Sechta, when it talks about the dinim of Yichud, the Gemara brings over there an example of Rav Chanina bar Papi as being one of those people where he's definitely not suspect of matters of arayas, as we see from this story over here, as opposed to the Amiroyim say on themselves, we can't necessarily know that we're on that high level. So that was the story. Therefore, so that's how he was saved from these vicious mazikim over there, is by the power of this avera that he held himself back from. So the Gemara brings in this connection, a pasuk, and more examples of this. The pasuk says, Gibore Choyach, the mighty people of strength, Osei Dvoroi, the mighty ones of strength, Osei Dvoroi, who do Hashem's word, L'shmoya B'kel Dvoroi, to listen to the sound of Hashem's words. So in context, it's talking about Malachim, but Marsha points out that actually if you look at the Psukim before it, then it comes out actually that it is talking about Malachim, but on another level, it's talking about Tzadikim, that they're Ezo Gibber HaKovash HaSyitzroi. So now the Gemara is going to explain that's exactly what it means. It's referring to these great Tzadikim who are capable of subjugating and controlling their own Tivus and doing what Hashem, and listening to what Hashem wants. So in fact, Marashal says the double expression, Oisei Dvoroi, the Shmoya B'Kol Dvoroi, it can mean on the one hand that they do what Hashem says and they listen to what Hashem says, but it can also mean that because they do what Hashem wants, therefore the Shmoya B'Kol Dvoroi, therefore Hashem in turn listens to what they have to say and accepts their tefillos and saves them, as in this example of Rav Chanina bar Papi. On top of that, also the pasuk before that, Baruch Hashem Malachov, and the pasuk after that, rather, Baruch Hashem Malachov, can be taken to refer, like, to the Malachim in this case that saved Rav Chanina bar Papi. Anyway, so the Gemara says, "Kigun Rav Tzadik v'Chaverim." So an example of that is Rav Tzadik and his colleagues, other Chachamim like him, where where again they strengthened themselves and held themselves back from doing a dvar avera. So what happened? So again, there was this goyish noble woman who propositioned him. So he needs an excuse. He needs to stall for time, kind of. So first, he makes an excuse. My heart is weak. I'm not feeling up to it. I don't have the strength for what you're asking for me. Is there maybe something to eat? So one point is, now the Gemara is going to go on and say that she fired up an oven to cook him something, and Ben Yehoyada says that was the point. In other words, he had in mind, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that he's going to jump into the oven to try to get away from her, so he needed an excuse for her to fire up the oven, and therefore he claimed that he's hungry, yeah. So is there anything to eat? She says to him, yes, there is some food which for you Jews is non-kosher. So he says to her, my nachmin, different gyusas, whether it's Omar law, is he actually saying to her, or just Omar like he says to himself, my nachmina, what would be, my nachmina literally means what comes out of it. Usually we always use that to mean, like, what's the practical difference? Rashi explains it over here a little bit differently. It means, what can I derive from this? What lesson, what hurrah can I derive from this? That she's telling me the only food that's available is non-kosher food. You can learn from that a person who does one such avera, having relations with a goita, is roi. He deserves to be eating trefa, to be eating trefa food. So therefore, Hashem Davka made it like that. That these two things are going in tandem. There are different other explanations of it, including that the Rif talks about over here in some detail about what exactly he was expressing with this. And one point is that it can also mean that he's telling her something along the lines of, you know, if a person does one such aveda, he's very susceptible to doing the other one, and that I can take the lesson from the fact that you're propositioning me with one aveda, and then you're telling me that the other one is all that's available. And we find actually that Rambam set aside a whole sefer kedusha specifically for these two things, for macholas asuras and for bias asuras, because those are the two things Rambam explains. And as Akdama, those are the two things in which the Kedusha of a Yid is most pronounced. So now, so the subject is saying in a similar vein, these two things go hand in hand. Yeah. She fired up the oven to cook him the food. Kaman chaslay, and she put the food into the oven. Solik v'yosef v'gavei, he jumped up and went inside the oven. He's ready to be burnt to death. Omrele my high, she says, what do you think you're doing? Omrele, he says, Da'ovid ha, nafal baha, one who does this avera, this that you're proposing to me to have relations with you, is going to wind up falling into this, the fire, not of this oven, but the fire of Gehenna. Omrele, so she says, Yadi kulahai, you know, if I'd realized that's a serious thing to you, then I wouldn't have bothered you in the first place. So she realized, in other words, that like this, you know, with her goyish cup, she probably figured who wouldn't jump at the idea of having a chance to be with her, but she didn't realize that for a year this is, on the contrary, this is the worst thing possible. Another example. So this is also an example. So this is even more in a way than Rav Chanina bar Papi. He ran into a bathhouse where there are mazikin. Here you have that he's jumping into an oven as ready to be burnt rather than Another example. The Gemara says Rav Kahana have a mazbin dikuli. Rav Kahana was selling baskets, and Rashi describes that these baskets are the kind that women usually use for their sewing and spinning equipment and things like that. So therefore, of necessity, his job is he's always having to go and offer his wares to sell to women. Tavate ahi matunissa. Again, one time, this noble woman propositions him to be mezana with her. He also needs an excuse to get away. Omrala ezel ikshit nafshoi. So he uses an excuse, let me go and dress myself up and beautify myself and get ready for you. Solit bekanofim the igrila ara. So he went up to the roof and then was jumped off the roof to the ground. Again, he's ready to be killed rather than having anything to do with her. Also, Eliyahu Kabla, Eliyahu Navi came and caught him so he doesn't fall onto the ground. Omrele, and Eliyahu tells him, what do you think you're doing over here? Atrachton Abameh Parsi, you bothered me to schlep here 400 paras. I was 400 paras away at the time, which is almost 1,000 miles, and you bothered me, you troubled me to schlep all the way here all of a sudden.
But it only took him 5 seconds to get there.
Fine, but still, you know. Actually, Ben Yoyada brings an interesting idea from Sfarim that this Rav Kahana was actually a Gilgul of Pinchas, and the Matronissa, this noble woman who tried to get him to be Mizana with her, was Cosby. Uh-oh. So the first time around, Pinchas killed Cosby. Now she's trying to do the same thing again. So and therefore, Elio, Pinchas de Elio, after all, so he came and saved him because, yeah, this is his own, he has an affinity with him. Wow. Anyway, so Omar Leigh said, Rav Kahana says, me Gorham, listen, what caused in the first place that I'm in this situation? Lav ani yoseh. It's only the fact that I'm poor, and therefore I'm the. And now later on in the Masechta, actually, it talks about that a person taka should not get a job that involves having to deal with women a lot because you have problems of yichud and all kinds of other things like that. At the end of the Masechta, it talks about. But here, Rav Kahana is saying, I probably couldn't find any other way of making parnasa. What do you want from me? Yoav Leshifa Dedinri, so Eliyahu gave him a basket full of gold coins, so now he'll have money, and now he doesn't have to do a job like that puts him in contact with women.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Next. Okay, so that's so all of this was an example of when we said, when the Brai said Yoshav, like Avon Aveda, we don't mean that a person, we don't mean, as Marsha said, obviously when a person has the opportunity to do a mitzvah, then by all means he has to be doing Vasei Tov, even not just sitting around doing nothing. We're also not talking about, though, where there's no particular mitzvah to be done at the moment, but he's just Sam sitting and not doing Aveda. So we're talking about these examples over here where he's actually faced with a temptation to Aveda, and he holds himself back. So that's what we're saying, that he gets a schar like Oisei Mitzvah. The Gemara continues, Romi le Rava le Rav Nachman. In this connection, as far as Eilu Dvorim, Rava pointed out a contradiction to Rav Nachman. Tnan, we learn in the Mishnah in Peah, Eilu Dvorim Shadam Oysan Eucha Peresen Ba'ilam Azeh. The following mitzvahs are things that a person does them, and he gets the peres, he gets the dividends in this world, Va'keren Kayem Aslay Le'olam Abba, and he has the principle is left for Olam Abba. Ve'elu Hein, and they are as follows, Kibur Ava'em, Uvmus Hasadim, Va'avas Shalom Shot Anam Achaved, V'tamu Torah Keneged Kolam. So again, in morning davening, we have several more, because that's based on a Braise and Masech the Shabbos that expands on this Mishnah and gives several other ones. And the Gemara explains over there, all of those are outgrowths or subtopics of these. Gemulas Hasadim, for example, also includes Achnosis Kala and Havoyas Ames and so forth and a bunch of other examples. Anyway, the point is, now, Rava says, I understand where the Mishnah is getting this, where the Tana is getting this list from. Because the Kibud Ava'im Ksev L'man Yarichun Yamecha L'man Yitavlach. Kibud Ava'im, the Mishnah, the Pasuk clearly says, honor your father and your mother, so that your days will be long and so it will be good for you. Now, we learned last time that Yaakov argues and says that means only in Olam Haba, but the Tana of the Mishnah and Peah at least disagrees with that and says that no, it means there's a schar in this world as well. So fine, we see that there's Peres in Olam Hazeh from that. Bigmilas Chasadim Ksiv. Bigmilas Chasadim, also we understand how we know that there are Peres of it in this world. Because the pasuk says roidif tzedakah v'chesed, one who pursues tzedakah and kindness, yimtzachayim tzedakah v'chavod, will find life and tzedakah and honor. So Rashi explains chayim, he'll find life, meaning so first with kibud avayim we have fine the double expression yarichon yamecha and yitavloch means olam haba and olam hazeh respectively. Again, according to Rabbi Yaakov, not, but according to the Tana of this Mishnah yet. Similarly to you, yimtzachayim, he'll find life in olam hazeh, in olam haba, and I'll find Zucca and covered in this world. Mm-hmm. That's how Rashi learns. Marsha says actually it could be the other way around. Chaim would be in this world and covered would be in Olam Haba. In any case, fine. The double expression teaches us that there's a schar in both worlds for Gemilas Chasadim and for all the outgrowths of Gemilas Chasadim that we say every day in Eilu Dvarim. So fine. Va'avas shalom, as far as making peace between people, fine. We also understand why we have a pasuk that shows us that there's schar in this world and in the next world. Ksiv, the pasuk says, Bakish shalom v'radfehu, seek peace and pursue it. How does that tell us there's a schar in both worlds? We have a gzeira shava on the word roidif, rodfehu. Ksivacha bakas shalom rodfehu, uchtivasim roidif tzedakah v'chesed. So the same way as we said, the tzedakah v'chesed, one who pursues them, is going to find chayim tzedakah v'chavoid, which we said means an olam hazeh, an olam haba. So the same way, when it says bakas shalom rodfehu, then it also implies that there's a schar in both worlds for it. So fine. So we know that one has a schar in both worlds, says Rava. The Talmud Torah, Ksiv, And then when it comes to Talmud Torah also, we know that there's a schar in both worlds, because the pasuk says, Kihi chayach, kihu chayacha, v'orach yamecha. The Torah is your life and the length of your days. And again, the double expression will mean one in Olam Hazeh and one in Olam Haba. The question Rava has, Ihochi, B'shalocha Kamnami, Ksiv, Laman Yitav Loch Vaharach Yamin. Well, we talked about, we learned last time, that Shalocha Kan is also the other mitzvah in the Torah for which Hashem promises long life. And there you also have the double expression, Yitav Loch Vaharach Yamin. So why is that not on the list? Listni Nami Ha. So why is Shalocha Kan not in the list of things in Eilu Dvarim? So the answer is, Tana Vashayu, the answer is the Tana listed things, but he didn't give a complete list. You often find a Tana will give a list of things, but he doesn't necessarily list every single one of them. Robert doesn't like that answer. Tani Tana, Elu Dvorim, the Mishnah says these are the things. V'atam a Tana Vashayu, you're saying that he's leaving out some things. So we're back to the question. Why is it not listed? Mao Shah deals with the question over here before, again, we talked about Rabbi Yaakov's opinion that there's no schar for mitzvahs in this world at all. Here, obviously, we're talking about the idea that there is schar mitzvah in this world. So what we said, that actually the Mishnah in Eilu Dvarim is only in Hoseh Shkula Machras. We said that even if a person is exactly half balanced, half mitzvahs, half averus, and one of the mitzvahs on the good side is the one from Eilu Dvarim, then it'll outweigh him. So maybe it means, in other words, maybe Shalom HaKan is not in that category. Yeah, it'll have Eilu Dvarim, Shalom HaKan, because it says, but maybe it's not one of those kinds that's powerful enough to weigh down the scale on that side. And so Marshall says, well, that's the thing, we're saying that those things have Paris in Olam Hazeh and Keren Kayemis in Olam Haba, and we're saying that also they have that quality of being able to outweigh more Averis, more than any other one. Why is Shalom HaKan not in that category? And you can't say that the Tana just left it out, because when he says Eilu Dvarim implies that we're giving an exhaustive list. So Omar Rava, had the question, and apparently Rav Nachman didn't answer it. So Omar Rava, Rav Idi Asbarali. So later on, Rava says, Rav Idi explained it to me. The difference is like this. We can understand, we'll understand based on a pasuk in Yeshaya. Imru tzadik ki toiv, the pasuk says, say to the tzadik that he is good, ki fri ma'alalehem yechelu, because they will eat, they will enjoy the fruits of their deeds. Ma'alalehem is a word in Lashon Kodesh that means their deeds. There's places in a number of places in his Pirush, the Malbim explains that ma'alalim means deeds that are motivated by a certain mentality. A person has a certain way of thinking and a certain approach to life, and he does accordingly. That's ma'alalehem. The point is, the tzaddik has a certain mentality, a certain approach to life, and that results in certain ma'asim. Anyway, the point is that what he means, imru tzaddik ki toiv. What else is a tzaddik? Yes, tzaddik toiv, the tzaddik sheini toiv. What is there, a not good tzaddik? Ella, so they have Idi explain like this, toiv l'shamayim v'labriyas, zehu tzaddik toiv. When you have a person who does things that are good for Hashem and good for Brias, he does things that are good, ben adam l'mokam and ben adam l'chaveroi, zehu tzaddik toiv. That is the one the pasuk is referring to, a tzaddik who is good. Toiv l'shamayim v'ra l'abriyas, but if he's good to Hashem, but bad to people, zehu tzaddik she'enet toiv, then he's a tzaddik who's not good. So in other words, the point is, shiloh, unlike all the things in Eilu Dvarim, all of those are things that affect, that are all things, all of those are things that affect Ben Adam L'Mokim as well as Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. Shiloh HaKan doesn't have a Ben Adam L'Chaveroi component. You're not benefiting any other Yid by doing Shiloh HaKan indirectly. You are, because any mitzvah benefits Kodesh HaRim Zalazeh and all that, fine. But there's no direct benefit to another Yid in Shiloh HaKan. Therefore, it's not the toiv kind of thing that belongs in the same category as the ones from Eilu Dvarim. So yes, there will be Peiris, Ba'ulamazeh, and Keren Kaimus, but it's not in the category of the other ones. So therefore, it doesn't deserve to be in that list. Now, what do we mean, by the way, we're saying that tzaddik was ra labrius? Do we mean that he's actually bad to people and cheats or whatever, and he's certainly not going to call him a tzaddik? So first of all, one point is exactly that. Yeah, he focuses more on Ben Adam L'Mokim, and he does whatever needs to be done Ben Adam L'Chaveroi to be Yotze, and no more than that. Then Yehoyada actually makes a point on it He says it may not even be that. You have, we know throughout history, there have been tzaddikim who, who found reason to be critical of Jews. Now, often they have, we're not going to say that they're doing it stam because they're Bali Gaiva or whatever. They have good reason to do it. They have good reason to criticize what's going on among Jews and work to improve it. But nevertheless, that would be included in what the Gemara is saying over here, is Ra'ala Brias, as opposed to you have tzaddikim who look always to find the Mimlamed Schus on Jews. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcher, to take one famous example, and many other examples like that. That's what we mean over here, the Tov L'Shamayim. That's what we mean, the Tov L'Shamayim, but Tov L'Abrius. Doesn't mean, by the way, even with that, doesn't mean that he allows everything to slide, and, whatever Averis they're doing, he's going to say, fine, you're doing good with that. That's Chanufa. That's a whole other issue. We're talking about, obviously he tells them off when they need to be told off, but as much as possible, he tries to be Melamed Schus on them in front of the Eivishte. We find all the Nevi'im. We find, for example, how many of the Nevi'im you have are saying very harsh Nevu'os against the Jewish people, but when it comes to talking to the Eivishter about them, they're always trying to be, the Eivishter always wants them to be Melamed Schus, and the few times we find that a Navi speaks badly about the Jewish people, then Hashem holds it against him. Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, where he gets Saras on his skin, and then Yeshaya saying, Am Tmei Sfasayim, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Okay. So that's the point. In other words, you want to, the ultimate kind of tzaddik is one who is doing Tov L'Abrius, and Shiloh HaKan is just not in that category. And the same thing, Kayotze B'Dover Ata Omer, you have a similar kind of thing as far as the next pasuk in Yeshaya continues, Oy la Rosha Ra, woe to the evil Rosha, the Gmur Yod of Yeosaloi, there will be done to him what he deserves for what he did with his hands. So again, what do you mean, Rosh Rav? Yes, Rosh Rav, yes, Rosh Shaini Ra. What is a Rosh if not bad? Ella, Ra la Shemaim, Ra la Brias, Zehu Rosh Ra. Ra la Shemaim, the Ainu Ra la Brias, Zehu Rosh Shaini Ra. So again, you can have, there is a Rosh who's not Ra because at least he does things that are Tov la Brias. But if he's not on good terms with Hashem and he's not doing mitzvahs, but I don't mock him, but at least he's doing, but on Lachaberi, so he's not in the category of Rosh Ra. Rashi gives examples over here. Rav L'Shamayim, Rav L'Abrius would be, for example, he's a Ritzeach, Gazlan, a Ganav. Rav L'Shamayim, Rav L'Abrius would be, for example, he does Gilui Arayas, or he treats the Yomim Tovim casually, or eats Chelev, or whatever. These are kinds of things which, indirectly, they have an effect on the Jewish people, again, because Kol Yisrael Arayim is Alazeh, but at least in the more direct way, he's doing things, he's doing fine, Ben Olam HaVeiroi, and therefore we're not going to put him in the category of the worst Rishayim. Marsha brings in this connection a point which the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, and Marsha refers to it in many places throughout his Perushim. The Gemara tells us over there each person starts out with a chelik in Gan Eden and a chelik in Gehenim. Now what happens is the tzaddik winds up, he's not going to need a chelik in Gehenim, he doesn't need that. So what happens is the chelik that he would have had in Gehenim ends up going to a different Rasha. So therefore, another Rasha ends up with a double portion of Gehenim, his own, and the one that he took over from the Tzaddik. And vice versa, the Tzaddik himself ends up with a double portion of Gan Eden, because he takes over from some Rasha who would have had a Chelik in Gan Eden, except that he forfeited it. So Marsha explains, or Gemara, in the same vein over here, when we talk about the Tzaddik Kitoiv, when we talk about the Rosh Ra, that's the double expression is because each one, the Tzaddik Kitoiv, he's Tov L'Shamayim, Tov L'Abrius, and therefore he ends up getting that double portion Gan Eden, and vice versa, the Rosh Ra winds up getting the double portion elsewhere. Yeah. Okay. So that explains then why Shiloh HaKan is not in that list. So the Gemara continues, further explaining those psukim, has Schus Yeshla Keren Yeshla Peiris. Person does a mitzvah, it has a principle of reward, and it has payers. So the payers are not necessarily given in this world, only the ones that are in Eilu Dvarim, but a mitzvah always has payers. Shenema, imur tzadik ki tov ki free the gomer, because we're saying that they're gonna enjoy the fruit of what they did. On the other hand, Avera yesh la keren ve'en la peiros, and Avera has a principle, there's a punishment for it, but there's no payers for it. Rashi explains, in other words, the person is not gonna be punished for more than his riches. Shenema, Oyla Rosha Rav, again, where the Pasuk only says, woe to the evil Rosha, ki gmu yodav yosaloi. It's saying that the recompense, the punishment for what he did with his hands is going to be done for him, implying, but no more than that. But the question is, Velamani Makayim Bayuchl Mutri Darkom Umimoy Atsehem Yisbo. You have a Pasuk in Mishlei describing Rishoyim who steal and kill and do other things like that. And the Pasuk describes that they consume from the fruit of their ways, and they get filled up from their bad advice, from their bad counsels. So we see there is Peiros of Averus. The answer is Avera Shoisa Peiros, Yeshel Peiros. An Avera that brings about fruit, that has Peiros, that has dividends when it comes to the punishments. Namely, Rashi says, for example, a person is Machalal Shem Shemayim, and he's an important person, and he does something beneath what a Yid should, and other people learn from that. So that has Peiros. Now it's not just that he did an Avera, it's other people are learning from him to act that way as well. So therefore, in that case, because it has peiros, because it has effect in later times, therefore, yesh la peiros, therefore, when Hashem punishes him, he takes into account not just what the person did at the time, but also the after effects of it on other people. But if it doesn't produce peiros, if it's something a person did an aveira and it doesn't have any after effects, then there aren't going to be peiros that are going, and then Hashem is not going to punish him for more than what he did. So always there's going to be peiros by a mitzvah, but not necessarily by an aveira unless there were actual peiros from it. It's broad in that connection, in a similar vein. You know, we talk about a person is Adam Nidin B'chol Yom, we talk about a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah, we talk about a person is judged after 120, they go in front of the Beis Din Shamayla, and then in addition, we talk about that a person is going to be judged La'osid Lavoi when Mashiach comes. That's Tfilas HaMeisim. The famous question is, what do you need another judgment for after he died? What else is, he's not doing mitzvahs or aveiros anymore? Based on this is one answer, a person's mitzvahs, and sometimes their aveiros do have after effects after they died as well. People learn from him, people positive, or the other way around, and therefore there's still what can be judged later and to take all that into consideration. This is the whole idea, for example, of doing mitzvahs on behalf of a neshama after 120 is in order to help that this way you're having that what they accomplished in their lifetime has peiros, and then that way there will be more, there's more schar available for them later.
We learn Mishnayos because in the
Eilat Devarim it says, so we learn Mishnayos, but we do in general. When we do mitzvahs, a person gives tzedakah, a person does other mitzvahs in honor of somebody. That's exactly the point of it. It means that, in other words, now the fact that they lived and the fact that they acted in this world has peiros, and therefore there's more for the Eibishter to reward them for. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ba'ola is today. Zayin Elul.
8:05.
Yes. All right, so during the time of Golos, you have the Jewish people can be compared to, using a metaphor of Chazal, to a kala who's living in a suite of tanners. A suite of tanners is always going to smell bad. So she's a kala, but she's living in this place. And the chosen, representing Hashem, he loves her so much that he goes to where she is and doesn't care about the bad smell. And he, to him, it feels like a perfumery. The Zohar in Parshas Bechukosai gives this metaphor of Hashem, the relationship between Hashem and us, the Jewish people. So this is how it is in Zman HaGolus. But now already it's time that there should be the end of Golus, so we have to be ready for the Gula Asidah. So then, do we want to go to the chuppah with the Eivishter with filthy clothing for the kind of clothing that you wear in a tannery? No, you want to go in proper clothing. So in other words, we have to be making ourselves ready for the Gula Mitzvah Hashleimah, that we shouldn't be that we're showing up at the chuppah in smelly clothing.
Okay.
Continuing on halachas of Elul, let's see. So we were talking about blowing shofar and saying l'davar Hashem Odi and so forth. Anshei Maisa have the minhag to check tefillin and mezuzas in doing Elul and to check and correct anything else that's necessary in mitzvahs. During this time of year, as we know, we're relating the Shiva din Chemta, relating seven successive haftaras from the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah of Nechama. So here we just had that. Here we just had this past Shabbos was Erev Shchodesh, and normally we'd learn Mocha Chodesh, but we don't because it's not one of the Shiva Dinachemta. So instead, we just said the extra couple of Shukim afterwards. On the other hand, if some years you have the first day, some days you have. Some years you have when Rosh Chodesh itself is on Shabbos, and then you have, and then the normal Haftarah Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is a Shemayim Kisi, then you do that. Because Shemayim Kisi is also a Haftarah of Nechom. In that case, then what we do in a Kavius like that is when it comes to like this, we have normally that Shabbos would be Parashas Re'eh, and we would be doing the Haftarah of, Roni Akara. Parashas Kiseitse, given that Parashas Kiseitse, we would be doing Haftarah, which is right next to that. Given that Shabbos Parshas Kiseitse, we're going to be doing Haftarah right next to that. We're going to be doing Roni Akara, and here, we should have been doing Ani Asura, and they're right back to back. So instead, in a case like that, Parshas Kiseitse, we do both Haftarahs together. So if in fact you do Ani Asura in such a kliyos instead of Hashemayim Kisi, so if you realize afterwards and you say Hashemayim Kisi, and then you make the brachas. If you only remember after the brachas, then you say Hashemayim Kisi without the brachas. Then we have in a couple of weeks is going to be Slichus. We start always, as we know, the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah, unless Rosh Hashanah is Monday or Tuesday, like this year, it's on Tuesday, and then you begin a week earlier. You're waking up in the middle of the night, then you have to wash Negelvaster and say Al Matzilas Hadayim and Birkas HaTorah, and then after Slichus, then you later on in the morning you're going to wake up again, then you would wash again without a bracha. The Alter Rebbe actually adds the detail that would only be if the first washing was before Alois HaShachar, so that would apply the first night when you're doing Slichus, or when you're doing Slichus at Chatzos, it wouldn't necessarily apply the other nights when we do Slichus first thing in the morning.
The first night you're up anyway, right?
If you're up until Slichus, then of course, if you're forbringing until Slichus, then there's nothing to talk about.
I mean, you're up anyway, you have to say,
I'm going to feel no, if we're talking about if you fell asleep, if you went to sleep, and then you're going to wake up at 1 o'clock for Slichus, then yeah.